entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. Today is March 4th, a Wednesday.
Yes.
For those of you who don't realize, this is the middle of the week for you. And for us, too.
It's so weird. This week feels like it's like speeding ahead.
Yeah.
I thought today was Thursday.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And yesterday, I had no idea what day it was.
Yeah. Yesterday, you didn't know because you didn't come in. We didn't come in yesterday.
Right. It threw me off.
Completely.
Well, completely.
Huh?
I had no idea what was going on.
I'm sorry I screwed up your day, but, you know.
It's all right.
I had gone to sleep at 4, and I also wanted to watch the speech live of Benjamin Netanyahu. So I thought, what the hell, you know, and I had a maid coming over. So I just thought, you know what, no guest. Fine, we'll take a break.
Yeah.
So did you enjoy your morning off? I mean, did you...
I did. I actually slept in. I normally wake up and, you know, just start my day and get ready and head out. But you caught me, I guess, before I started that process. So,
okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's what I was hoping, you know. So I don't know what time you get up, but I figured, you know, around 8:30 is when I get up, around 8:15 or so.
You are a lot closer to here, though. So I usually get up around 8. I happen to snooze
really?
A couple times.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So I'll have to get up earlier and let you know.
Yes.
Okay. All right, I'm trying to be thoughtful.
Thank
you know,
you.
I didn't know I should have asked you what
I wasn't curling my hair by that time yet. I was actually snoozing because I was, for some reason, very tired. So once I saw your message, I slept in until 10.
You know how many people yesterday told me that I don't know why I'm tired? You know, people were just tired yesterday.
Yeah.
You're like the fifth person that told me that.
Really?
I don't know what happened yesterday.
Don't know either. I think, you know, well... The weather, I mean, not the weather, the time zone is starting to adjust to daylight savings time. So I think as that happens, our bodies are like fighting it.
Readjusting, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Because like it's lighter earlier, right?
Right.
No, it's lighter longer.
Longer, earlier and later.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know what's happening, but it's just adjusting. And there's a full moon tomorrow night.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll look forward to that. I'm sure we're going to be able to see that because I don't think we're expecting any rain or anything.
No, it's going to happen. It's going to be very full, and it affects a lot of people's bodies.
You think?
It does.
Really?
It does.
Does it affect you?
Yes.
Really?
I knew something was up this week because I felt I have felt it, and then someone sent me an article. It was like, what to do with the full moon this week? And like, I was like, ah, makes so much sense. I've been feeling a lot of tension and a lot of weirdness. And yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I'm very in
very
touch with that.
Interesting.
I always know.
You're obviously in touch with that because I'm not feeling anything, but maybe it's better to be ignorant. I don't know.
Maybe. I can feel it off of other people's energies.
Uh-huh.
And also, like, if there's like turmoil between people or just weird things come up, it's usually a sign of like the moon.
But is it like a primitive kind of way of thinking? You know, I mean, this is like people used to think that like when they didn't understand things.
Well,
so would, you know, they would follow the moon and the stars and the sun.
I mean, there's something to it.
Well, maybe.
You know, especially with like daylight savings and things like that. Like we actually we do live by the moon and the sun.
Yeah.
Every
well,
day.
Well, I guess it does affect the tide. So I guess there is some kind of effect, right?
Yeah. I mean, and you know, it's dark out, you go to sleep. Like your body definitely like goes by the sun and the moon. So.
No, absolutely. I just don't think it makes people unusual, but. You know, I mean, what do I know, right? So maybe that is the case. But if you're feeling it, that's all that matters. It's real to you.
It's true. I feel it. I really do. And then, like, there's an explanation because then it's like, well, there is a full moon. So I've been feeling it all week, not knowing there was a full moon. And then I was like, ah.
That explains it.
It totally explains it.
What about the, what did they call it? Mercury in retrograde.
Oh, yeah. I always feel
you
that.
You believe that, too?
Totally. I feel it for sure during it, especially this past one that happened.
Right.
It was like January through February, I think. That thing rocked my world. Between all of the technology that went awry and communication as a whole, it was just awful.
Don't you think it's because you're looking for it?
No. I don't want that. I don't want that anywhere near my life.
You're right. No, but I don't know. When people say that, and some people live by that stuff, I go like, you know, take a little responsibility, you know, I mean, for your life. You know,
well,
you
totally,
can't blame
but
things on the moon and on the stars, but maybe there's something to it. Maybe
it's an energy pull, and yeah, it affects people differently. And it was Mercury retrograded in Capricorn, and I am a Capricorn, so I felt it a lot stronger than other signs did. Mm-hmm. So my best friend and I, who are both Capricorns, both felt it. And like the first time ever had like a weird tension between us. It was like hard to communicate. And really? We talk all the time, all day, all night about everything. And she's like my sister. Yeah. And we both felt like very strange.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you can't argue with that, right?
Nope. I felt it.
Yeah.
It was real.
Yeah. Do you remember we had that dating expert Laurel House here?
Yes.
Well, I saw on Facebook she's pregnant.
Oh, how exciting.
Yeah, and I didn't think she even had anybody. She said she was single. And, you know, so maybe she did find someone in the meantime, but I didn't see any mentions of a man. So I'm just thinking maybe she went off and decided to have a baby on her own.
Maybe she did. That's very interesting. She was actually a guest on my friend's AfterBuzz after show for The Bachelor. Yeah.
Oh, very
cool.
She was
weighing in on what's going on in that show.
Yeah. She's a lot of fun. And but she said that she's single and everything. So I'm thinking, but, you know, it's possible because, I mean, she's very pretty. And
she's fun.
I think she's in her later 30s or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I can see if you feel that your clock is ticking and stuff. But, you know, I don't know. I guess it depends on whether you decide to let the kid be in touch with her father or not. But I think it's sort of selfish to do that, to bring a child to the world with only one parent.
I don't know. I think if you can do it, then that's great. I mean, I know I could not do it. I can't even have a dog by myself. I need somebody to share responsibility with and cost and time.
Right.
So if you can do it, and I think she works from home, and I would guess she's probably doing well financially if she's bringing a child into this world, because they are quite expensive.
That's true. But, you know, I mean, when the child grows up, it's like there's no father. You know, everybody, you know, the kids ask them, where's your father? You know,
but there's still time for that. Like, Laurel could also meet a guy, and then that becomes the child's father.
Right.
We don't know what's going to happen in the future, and I think that if somebody really wants to be a parent, and they know that they have limited time to get pregnant, then they should do it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I
would
do it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you have a point there, you know. I mean, the thing is people should be able to I just think of the kid, you know.
Yeah. I mean there are some deadbeat dads, I'm not going to lie. So.
That's true. Even that exists. So
right.
You never know, right?
So having one doesn't always help you.
Right. That's true. Yeah. So congratulations to her.
You know? I mean,
definitely. I'm really happy for her. At first, I couldn't understand the post because there was a picture with a sister there, and it says, my sister's pregnant, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, who's talking in this post about whom? So,
well, now I want to see the post. That.
Yeah. But, yeah, so these things happen, you know. And, yeah, I mean, I support it, I suppose, you know. Women do feel that, and you don't want to cheat them out of a child. It's not, maybe it shouldn't depend on whether you can meet somebody you get along with or not.
Right.
You know.
I think some people are just going to be great parents, and they should be great parents.
Right.
Because for all the shitty parents out there, there should be good ones.
Right, exactly.
And if you've made like all the decisions and or like weighed the pros and cons and you really feel that it's the right choice for you, why not?
Right. And besides, today we have such a diversity of families and
totally.
Stuff. You know, you have same-sex parents and things like that. So a lot of divorced families, you know, mixed families. You have the new stepfather and stepmother and all that stuff, you know. So it starts complicating things anyway.
Right. So the average family just doesn't look the same anymore.
Right, exactly. You know, it's not that nuclear family we used to have in the 50s.
No.
Today things have changed quite a bit, so we need to adjust, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, whatever works for people. But you don't think you could handle a kid by yourself? I don't think I could either.
No, I forget to feed myself.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, did I shower today? Like, oh, God, I should probably shave my legs. Like, this is my life. But also, right. It's where I am right now. Maybe if I were Laurel's age and, I mean, she probably has, like, you know, maybe 5 to 8 years on me. Right. That's a lot. A lot can happen in that time.
Yeah, that's true.
All of a sudden, I can wake up one day and be maternal.
Yeah.
I don't know. Weirder things have happened. Maybe the moon will strike and I'll be like, oh, time to be a mom.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I have a feeling you'll find someone within a few years.
You know? I would hope
this
so.
This gives you plenty of time.
I hope that he knows how to, like, burp a baby. So.
Yeah. Well, you don't. I mean, you have to learn that by doing, you know. But I enjoyed being a father when the kids were young, you know, even though they cry and they require a lot of attention. But it's fun, you know. It's your own kid, you know.
Right.
It's a different thing altogether.
I'm sure it's an amazing experience.
Yeah, it really is.
One I'm not ready for.
Right. And especially for the father who doesn't have to go through the delivery and the labor.
Honestly, the thought of that scares me so much.
Yeah. But you know what? I got to tell you, most women that go through it say that they love the experience.
Yeah, and then they also like forget about it.
Yeah, exactly.
After, and they're like, let's have another one.
Yeah, it's just like the experience of being pregnant is special. You know, it's like a bond and you feel you're creating a life and everything. So, yeah, you know.
I don't know. I'm all for surgery. I like believe in like all kinds of medical treatments. But the thought of giving birth to a child terrifies me.
Yeah. Well, you'll have plenty of time to prepare for it.
Totally. And I think at some point you just want it out. So like that's exciting too.
Exactly. Exactly. And your life changes forever the moment it pops out.
Right.
You never go back to the way it was.
No.
But it's not necessarily a bad thing. You just have to adjust.
Right. It's new.
Yeah. It's very new. And it's going to change your life forever. So everybody that wants a kid, think about that really hard.
Right.
Before you do it.
It's forever.
Yeah.
You don't break up with that child.
In a couple of minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in. I almost forgot to introduce him. We better let people know before he calls. And we have Chris Duke, who is the automotive improvement expert and also a tool guy. Right?
That's pretty cool. He's like Tim the Toolman Taylor from Home Improvement.
Yeah. I know. So that would sound pretty cool. He's got his own show. So we'll talk to him about that. So the speech yesterday, you know, I mean, I don't want to get too much into politics, but it was a historic thing yesterday that the Israeli Prime Minister made a speech to the Congress, although he's done it twice before. But it was historic because it has to do with Iran and its nuclear arsenal, which is a very serious threat. And, you know, we get caught up in all the other things and stuff, and we forget that Iran, and he made it a point, he says they've taken over 4 countries. You know, Syria and Yemen, and they even have, you know, like the Hezbollah in Lebanon. So it's all offshoots from Iran, and it's a real threat for Israel. But here, you know, we sit back and we don't really realize what's going on there. And so a lot of controversy started happening. The president felt slighted. And, you know, I don't think it's time for this shit. You know, I think it's time to be together, get together, and work towards common goals, you know. But a whole big deal started from this. So
what resulted from it?
Well, the thing is this, is that, you know, people thought, oh, you know, he's going to say that war is the best thing. But it's not about that. You know, it's about knowing who you're dealing with and getting a better deal in the process. Okay, we have our guest calling in, so let's go ahead and take that. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
This is Chris Duke calling in.
Yes, Chris. Good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hi.
I'm a minute early. Is that okay?
That's fine, Chris. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Good. So you, Chris, the real Toolman Duke.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. So where are you calling us from today, Chris?
Just down the street from you in San Diego.
Oh, it is almost down the street. Yeah. Is that? did you grow up there or did you move there from somewhere else?
Actually, I grew up in the Seattle area and moved down here. And my background is with IT and tech and also doing editorial for automotive. And so I just kind of took my passion for that and turned it into a TV show at some point, having no background in doing so.
Yeah, wow, that's pretty cool. So you have a lot of different interests and stuff that apparently, and because you deal, you have a motors.tv, that's a show on cars, right?
Yeah, it's Motors, M-O-T-O-R-Z, .tv is the website, and it's a DIY. It's automotive improvements, so we show people how to improve their vehicles, how to maintain them. So we've done everything from work on cars and trucks, showing how to do suspension, performance, just about everything, interior, exterior, exhaust, you know, steps, and then just basic maintenance and things that you would normally do to your car, like change your oil.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool. So, I mean, is this aimed at the average person or more people that know about cars?
It's aimed at both. We hear from viewers all the time that are watching it with their whole families, from, you know, the mom and dad to their kids. So it really appeals to quite a wide audience. And what I've been doing on the show, it's this is the seventh year, and we're about ready to start our seventh season and publish our 83rd episode, which is online and also TV. But it appeals to such a wide audience because it's something that's entertaining. It's not there's not a whole lot of tech speak. So where, you know, the instructions for installing, let's say, a supercharger, which is something that we've done several times on the show, you know, might get really techy. You know, I kind of take that tech speak and kind of, you know, I don't want to say dumb it down, but that's the best thing I can think of right now. But basically dumb it down so that it's something that, that anybody can digest who's watching the show.
Right. Now, where can people watch this show? Is this online, on TV, both?
Yeah, the main distribution partner that we have is called U2 America, which is actually Time Warner. So if you have Time Warner cable, you can watch it Wednesdays at 8 p.m. It actually starts at 5. They have a couple of episodes, but Time Warner cable is the biggest. It's also on a bunch of other different networks throughout the country. If you go to our website, there's a TV page that kind of lists all the distribution partners that we have. But the main one is Time Warner cable, but you can also watch it online at our website, motors.tv, and it's on YouTube, full episodes. So those same full episodes that you watch on TV with all those commercials are also available online.
I see. Wow, that's pretty cool. So you've been doing this for 7 years now.
And yeah.
So you started it about the time I started the station. So that was 2008. Right?
Yeah.
Very
right
cool.
There, yeah.
Well, congratulations to you. I mean, there's, I think you've packaged it nicely. And, you know, obviously you got a lot of distribution for it. So that's pretty cool that you can be seen around the world. How did the idea come about for you?
Well, it really started because I'm a car guy, I'm a car nut, and, you know, like I said, my background is in editorial about writing about how to do these things to vehicles. I was an editor for a magazine for a while, and I just got kind of frustrated with being confined to just text and a couple of small photos, especially when it comes to like a step-by-step DIY type thing. You know, here's a little tiny photo that you can see in print, and here's a description. With video, there's so much more. And so I looked to television, the existing car shows that were out there, to see what they had to offer, and frustratingly, they would go to a commercial break and come back, and a lot of the steps were done, especially the hard stuff. And so what we do on Motors is show viewers exactly how to do it. Don't miss any steps unless we've covered it before, and then I reference a past episode, but we show exactly which tools that you need to do the job, why you're doing it, and that's just something that kind of was frustrating me with some of these other car shows, because I'd watch them and I'd want to know how to install something or do something to my vehicle, and they would skip over that stuff. So, you know, having no hosting experience or video production experience or anything, you know, I'm down here in San Diego, not up in LA where everything is happening. So I just kind of figured things out, and it initially started as an internet only show just on YouTube, but now it's grown. We've got 62,000 subscribers on Roku.
Oh wow!
Which is a you know, set top box or a stick, and about that same amount on YouTube, and you know, over 100 million homes in the U.S. coast to coast, up in Canada. So the distribution has continued to grow over the years, and what's really fun for me is that these TV stations will contact me. I actually haven't contacted anybody in a few years. They'll contact me. They'll see the show somewhere else, and they'll approach me and say, hey, we'd like to carry your show. And so that's how the distribution has grown from, you know, just like 2 million homes to 20 million homes to 80 million homes. And now actually the combined total is over 182 million homes, which is kind of an insane number to talk about because there's only 100 million homes in the U.S., but there's a lot of overlap between different broadcast and cable channels. So it's right. really taken off, and it's a lot of fun.
Right. Now, I'm wondering, how did you learn to do all these things? Do you have, like, mechanics with you and people that understand, or do you do everything yourself?
I have help, of course. I do a lot of research before we film an episode, and so. But I also have really good people that are around that help me out that have either done it before or we figure it out. And here's a trick that we do a lot with DIY, since you know we've got a vehicle. Usually, there's another half to the vehicle that we don't have to film. So if we have to, let's say, show a brake installation, we'll show the passenger, or we will actually do it first on the passenger side of the vehicle, and then we'll film it being done on the driver's side, you know, on camera. So we've already just done it. We figured out, you know, which tools we need and, you know, where to put your hands and stuff for the camera, and then we'll actually film it on the driver's side. So, but yeah, a lot of research, and it's just a lot of fun. I'm not a mechanic. My background is in tech, software development and stuff like that. So for me to do this is just a passion.
Yeah. Now, are you still working in information technology and things like that?
Yeah, it's still a fun thing for me to do, but my main thing is automotive. It's really what I like to do. So
Very cool.
Yeah.
So you managed to take a hobby or something that you really like and make a big deal out of it in your life, which
right.
is cool. Yeah.
Kind of like
yeah,
you, definitely. Sam.
Yeah, I guess so in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is cool. So now now all the past shows are available on your website as well, and or mm-hmm. in all these places, right? YouTube and all that. So if people missed an episode, they can check out past shows.
Yeah, all the episodes are at our website. Again, it's motorz.tv on YouTube. I think it's youtube.com/motorztv. You have to add the TV to that. Roku. It's on now. It's on Amazon Fire TV. You know, I was just talking about how distribution partners, especially television, will contact me to get motors, and Amazon is one of those examples. About a month ago, they contacted me out of the blue, and they said, "Hey, we want to have your content on Amazon Fire TV," which is they've got a stick that you can put into your HDMI port on your TV. Right. They've also got a small set-top box that you right. can plug in as well.
Yeah, I have that one. It's pretty cool, actually. And well, that's very cool. So you've been serious about this, and obviously you made a lot of headway, and that's very cool. So if people want to find out more, I guess you can find out all the places where you can see it, including online at the website motorz.tv. And,
that's right.
And you also have a website of your own, chrisduke.tv. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's just a website that my fans can follow me, and there's an appearances page that talks about all the different places that that I make appearances at and other radio shows and things like that. And like this weekend, I'm going to be filming an off-road event at Tierra del Sol, which is out in the desert here of San Diego. They're having a safari, and so we're going out there Friday through Sunday to cover that event. But I also have a blog where I talk about you know, what I'm doing, and there's a bunch of articles about tools and about motors and things like that. So it's not just motors, but all the other things that I'm involved with.
Sounds very good. Well, Chris, very impressive. It sounds great to me. You know, I mean, I'm into cars. I'm not as much into fixing them, but so I get new cars, so I don't have to do anything with it.
Yeah, that's a good way to go.
Yeah. But I remember when I was a teenager, I had like a, you know, piece of crap car, and I had to fix it all the time, you know, so I had to learn how to replace a water pump and things like that, but no more, man. But I guess when you like it, it's fun, right?
Oh yeah, it's fun for me to get out there in the studio, and I do it even when we're not filming. You know, I just it's my relaxing thing to do, which is to go out in the studio, and which is actually my 2-car garage turned into a television studio with all the lights and everything else. So just over the years, in fact, you can watch some of the early episodes of Motors from the first season, you know, 7 years ago, and you can see that it looks like a 2-car garage, but now it's slowly turned into a studio. But that's what it is for me. It's relaxing. I love to go out there, turn on some music, turn on the lights, and start wrenching away. It's fun.
Very cool. Now, do you have family also
that no longer gets to park in that garage?
Yeah, exactly.
yeah. There's many times, many weeks and weekends where my wife cannot park her car in the garage. But yeah, I've got a wife and 2 daughters.
Wonderful. Well, congratulations, Chris. Everybody go out, check out the show. Again, the website motors.tv, that's motors with a Z, and you can find out everything about Chris. Chris Duke, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
And, thank you, Sam and Jen.
Yes, I'm eager now to watch the show, so I'm going to check it out for sure.
All right, I appreciate it.
Okay, Chris, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, thank
you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I like to see that people really pursue their dreams, you know.
And, me too.
And really like doing things and their passions and stuff, you know.
Totally.
And I would imagine most of the viewers are male, but what's wrong with that, right?
No, there's got to be something for everyone.
Yeah.
Hey, not everyone drinks, but there's 2 drunk girls for those people that do.
Exactly. And there's the Oprah Network, which is more for women and stuff. So, and Lifetime, right? The Lifetime channel is more for
women. Love me some Lifetime.
Yeah. Listen, you got to bring Lauren in again. You know, I mean, she was a lot of fun.
I know.
We
she'll come
bring her in a lot.
She's away right now.
Oh, she is?
Yeah, she's in Hawaii.
Wow.
I know. How rude, right?
With a guy?
No, her family.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. Yeah. What are you guys going to do when one of you gets like a boyfriend or something?
I don't know. I actually think about that often. And,
really?
And there have been times I've gone on dates and she's like, ugh, this is my worst nightmare.
Yeah.
And, you know, vice versa, because we are such a team in life.
Right.
It's almost getting like, I think, unhealthy because anytime you get in the car, like you usually call your significant other or, you know, you call someone. She and I call each other. We're like, we need to look at our like phone statements and see how many minutes actually go toward each other.
Wow.
Because it's a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think we'll cross that bridge when we get there and probably talk a lot about it.
Yeah.
And
that's
how
true.
We're dealing.
That's true. And figure out how to deal with it.
Yeah.
And then the other one better hurry up and get one too.
Well, the idea would be is if we found like a set of friends and then we date them at the same time and it all is just one big happy family.
Right. That would be cool.
Yeah. Right now we actually have 2 best guy friends that we're sort of like a foursome.
Okay.
So until one of the 4 of us gets like a relationship, I don't know what's going to happen when that happens. It's going to be weird.
Yeah. Well, we should ask her too what she thinks about it. So
I'm sure she has a lot to say.
When she comes back, we'll ask her about this.
She's in town actually next week. So maybe she'll come in next week.
Yeah. Yeah, ask her too.
I will.
Because it's cool to see. I like to see good friends together, you know? It's really cool. Because it's like, it's better than family. Because a friend is like, you get to choose.
Yeah.
You know, family, you don't get to choose. You sort of have to love them, whatever.
It's true. It's true. Know?
So it's very cool to have a partner in crime.
Yeah. And she's a very good friend. So.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah, we might as well promote your show. If you guys want to watch 2 Drunk Girls, where can they find it?
2drunkgirls.net and also on YouTube, 2 Drunk Girls TV.
Okay, well, you guys got to check it out. I saw like a little bit of it, but I want to watch like a whole episode. How long are they?
They're like, really short. They're like 4 or 5 minutes.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, it doesn't take a lot of time to watch this.
No, not at all. And actually, tomorrow's episode is on it's on being friends with exes. And whether you should or shouldn't.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Well, I am.
You are.
I'm
friends with some of mine, too. Not all of them.
Yeah, not all of them, obviously. Yeah. But some of them. I mean, I'm still a friend with this woman who was my girlfriend 35 years ago.
Wow.
And we're still in touch. You know, we have families and everything. And we still stayed in touch, which is really cool. It's unusual.
It is.
You know, although we don't hang out as much, but at least we're in touch, you know.
Yeah.
And she's here. She's in town. So so that's one. And then my my last ex-wife, I mean, we see each other more than we did when we were married.
Right.
You know, just going out to dinner and stuff. But no, serious involvement there. But I think there's nothing wrong with it, you know. And I figure that, you know, many times people can break up. It doesn't always have to be anger.
No, and that's basically what I say in our episode. So
uh-huh.
You can really? Also tune in tomorrow, or you can just hear it now. But what my thought is, you know, if it ends in an appropriate way, or you've, you know, reconciled in some way, or apologized, or said what needs to be said, and treated each other with respect, there's no reason you can't be friends.
Right.
Because you did mean something to each other at one point. You cared a lot about each other. Right. And if you, you know, are able to get through whatever the issues were that you guys split up about, then you can be friends. Right. Now, then there's the other relationships that happen yeah. where they end terribly.
Right.
My most recent ex and I are not friends.
Really?
And it's kind of like, this is how the episode came about, because I was like, well, he invited me to a party, and I'm like, well, I could go, or I'd be going back in time and kind of bringing up like bad energy and bad memories. Mm. Like, I don't want to go back to his apartment where I like live for over 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want anything to do with that. We did not end well. You're a douchebag. Like, I want nothing to do with you. Don't invite me to your house. Like, no.
So he still wanted to stay in touch?
Well, no. The reason is because my best friend is dating his brother, and they live together.
Oh, okay.
and they're probably going to get married. And they met while we were dating.
I see. So you sort of have to deal with it.
Yeah. And I'm okay with like being civil. And if I run into him, fine. But I was like, hold on. You still owe me a massive apology. And it's not going to be that you invite me to your party. Like, there's steps that can be taken between then and now. Like,
yeah.
People.
I know.
There wow. are like procedures that need to happen.
Yeah. And the amazing thing is sometimes it takes a long time to figure out the other person. You know, it's
yeah.
not, you know, because otherwise you'd break up with them right away, you know. But sometimes people are together for years and then they break up and it's like, oh, I didn't know he was like this.
I don't know. Everyone knows. You yeah. just bury it deep down and pretend you don't know. Like I did. We were together for a year, broke up for 3 months, got back together for like another year and a half. Nothing changed.
Yeah.
I just gave it a second chance.
Yeah. Going back does not usually work. I tried that with my first marriage. It didn't work.
Right. Also, just because you love somebody doesn't mean you should be with them.
Right. Exactly. And if you don't love them, definitely don't be with them.
I don't know why people do that.
Yeah. Well, to be with the kids. That's right. what I did.
Yeah. We did talk about that.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's easier. It just makes sense. It's,
right. But it's the wrong reason.
Right.
I mean, you got to love a person to be able to stand them and be right. next to them.
Oh, the worst is people that stay together because you share like a rent or a mortgage.
Yeah.
Or because it's more difficult to break up than it is to stay together.
Exactly.
How is that a life?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They say it's cheaper to keep her, you know?
Oh, I like that. I don't yeah. really like that, but it's cute.
Well, it goes the other way too, you know?
Totally.
But, I mean, there's plenty of women giving alimony to men, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know? The world has changed quite a bit.
It has.
It's so different
now. We just
have
to adjust.
Yeah, we do. You know, like we adjusted to our phones and our tablets, we'll adjust to that as well.
Yeah.
Sam. Yes.
Did you hear the news about Tinder since we talk about it so
often?
No.
What happened?
They're charging now.
Really?
Yeah. For wow. different features. So, like, if you want to go back to somebody that you might have said no to,
uh-huh.
you can now bring them back.
Oh, okay.
So they're not gone forever.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And I think you can get like unlimited likes and some other things.
Okay, so it's like an optional thing.
Yeah,
no?
And you can look at people. Let's say you're going to Israel for 6 months and you know you're going to be there. You can look at people in Israel, not just your surrounding area.
Oh, okay.
You can pick another city to look at.
Okay, cool. So, but I would imagine the phone would know if you're in Israel, right? So it would look for people in your area?
Well, no, because you're here and you know you're going to Israel in, like, let's say 3 weeks.
You can I see,
start
okay,
looking
before
now.
You're there.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, so, okay, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
It's broken up by age range. So under 30, it's $9.99.
Wow.
Over 30, it's $19.99.
Wow.
Yeah. Do you think that's fair to do that to different age groups?
I guess they figure whoever can afford it, you know, whoever's older can afford it more or something.
Yeah, that is what they think.
Yeah. But I'm trying to think if there's another reason. to it. Maybe because it's harder to find someone after, so they make you pay more for it.
That's mean. They should make the service less expensive then.
I know.
Sadder.
I know.
Well, they do figure that under 30, you're like either in college or just getting out of college, so you can't really afford it.
Right. Yeah. So, but I mean, but the basic features are still there for free?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just an in-app purchase, which makes sense. You know, I mean, I remember the days when Match.com was free, when they were just building up their website.
Yeah, now most they're very expensive. Right?
Yeah, most dating sites started free. So those were the good old days of the internet. But now, yeah, it's pretty pricey. I mean, if it worked, I'd join it. But for me, it doesn't work at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know about that. But I can't imagine people meeting seriously on Tinder. Maybe they do. Who knows? Because it's just like a conversation starter, pretty much. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah.
Change my mind every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you still use it.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I don't go out that much. And when I do go out, I'm with my friends. And right. As I've said, I know all my friends' friends. So I'm never going to meet somebody new through them.
Right.
And those are who I choose to spend my time with. So it's that or meet nobody.
Right. That's true.
And I really like my couch a lot. So if I can meet people from there, that's great.
Right.
However.
Except, you know, they tell guys you got to approach, if you see a woman in a group and stuff, you got to approach the group and all that stuff. But it's very hard. You know, I mean, if there's like a few women and a few guys having a party or something, you're not just going to walk up to one of the girls and start talking with them. I mean,
it takes a lot of guts. And I give credit to anybody that can do that and feel like, you know.
Yeah.
Confident enough to do that, because I sure as hell would not.
Yeah. So just, if when you're out with a group, if there's someone you like, just at least let them know, you know, give them some glances.
Yeah.
Or something.
The tricky thing about that is you don't know if that girl is with somebody in the group or if they have a boyfriend or right. whatever their issue.
No, but that's what I'm saying. So the girl should give sort of a signal, you know, if she's interested.
If I see somebody in a room, I'll usually give them like a look.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'll give them like eyes. I don't know what those eyes look like to them. They might look crossed. They might look scary.
Yeah.
They might look confused or that I need help, maybe.
Yeah. But a look would definitely be the right step. I mean, in LA, right. A lot of people don't even look at you, you know.
It's so. Like an effort thing. Yeah. I feel like it shows like, hi, I see you at least. I know you're there.
Yeah. And a smile would even be better.
Totally.
Yeah.
I'll work my way up to that. I think a little smirk. I think it comes with the eyes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So maybe you should just go out with just a female friend, just one. I mean, I'm sure you do, but at the time when you're hoping to meet somebody, you know, I mean, there's time to go out with the friends and the group and stuff.
Yeah.
But also, you know, I mean, if you want to meet someone, just go with a friend, you know. I mean, even that sometimes is hard to approach because you're with someone.
Right.
You know, but I read someone or somewhere, or did I hear it? I don't know what, but... Hot chicks are never alone, so you got to remember that. You know, it's
hard. Why would they be?
Yeah, exactly. Nobody's gonna let them off the hook for even a few seconds.
If a hot girl went out to a bar and was sitting at the bar by herself,
no, I don't mean
herself.
At a bar. Oh. Even going to a Starbucks, for crying out loud. You know,
I do that.
Rarely.
I mean,
yeah.
But that's the thing. I'll go after I worked out, and then I'm like really gross and sweaty. So then I'm like, don't talk to me right now.
Right. And then when you go out, you're probably with people, right?
Right.
You don't go out by yourself. So, yeah.
Actually, that's not true. I take that back. If somebody hit on me when I looked gross and sweaty after working out, I would like them even more, because that means they didn't care that I looked gross and sweaty.
Right.
And they appreciated my love of working out. I guess.
I know, but why do women get turned off by guys who are attracted to them because of their looks? I mean, what's wrong with that?
Well, because we would hope for more, because at some point we're not going to be that. We're not going to be single day.
But you don't know that in the beginning. You know, I mean, the beginning,
right.
Usually the attraction is the looks.
Right.
And then you get to know them a little bit. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, even just there's nothing wrong. I mean, you know, like I met this woman on Tinder also, and I think I discussed this. She had like a sort of a grainy picture, black
and
white.
Yeah, you asked
right?
for another picture.
Asked for a picture, and she's like, you know what? I'm not interested in someone who's only interested in the way I look. And I'm like, I'm not only interested,
right.
But I'd like to see what you look like. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. And some people are defensive about it, and I think maybe if they're not they have a problem with self-esteem or something, you know?
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I have stranger danger issues, so like...
Yeah. I mean, I proudly send pictures to someone who I started corresponding with.
Yeah.
You know? I wouldn't send nude pictures, but then again, I wouldn't send it to someone I was involved with either.
Yeah, I don't really get why she didn't post other photos. And like, I'll see guys on there that'll post one photo or like wear sunglasses in every picture. I'm like, I don't know what you look like.
What do you look like? You know,
I can't really visualize this. And I mean, I also just wouldn't go down the route of talking to them probably if I couldn't see what they look like.
Right.
And if they didn't have mutual friends with me and if they didn't have a profile. And, you know, I'd probably just think they were a serial killer.
Yeah, exactly. You know, or the thing is this, is that you also have the option of, I mean, the opportunity to put up the your best picture up there. So if you put up a shitty picture, that must be your best picture.
I guess.
You know?
I don't know. I would like to interview all the people on Tinder, truthfully, because it's just such a fascinating thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, I give it to the people that actually find relationships on there, because that means that they stopped talking to other people. That means that they were patient enough to have a conversation with one person, that they didn't lose interest because they said the wrong thing. Like, you're judged so harshly on there.
Yeah.
More than you would be anywhere else.
You think, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's based on looks mainly, right?
Well, it's also your attention span. So, like, let's say somebody's not writing you back. You move on and you keep swiping.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you come home from a date and it could have been fine, but you keep swiping.
Yeah.
When do you stop swiping? I need to know. When does someone stop swiping?
Yeah. It's the same thing like when you're on a dating site. And at what point after finding someone do you take yourself off the site?
Which is why I think that, you know, meeting people in person, you actually get a feel for them. You can feel chemistry or not. You have your witty banter. You're excited about them. But, you know, online, it's kind of like, well, on to the next one.
Yeah. That's why it should just be sort of like a spark online, you know. You shouldn't really
But how do you have that spark?
Yeah, by striking up a short enough conversation that you can just say, well, let's meet. Let's meet for coffee or something, you know.
I mean, I don't know. For like what we do as a career, like, I mean, I talk all day and all night.
Right.
From this show to the next thing. And then all the social media stuff that I do online. Like, I'm tired of talking. So by the time I'm like on Tinder or whatever I'm doing, I'm like, I'm not witty anymore. I'm tired.
Yeah.
I can't even think straight. To put together a sentence is painful.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't translate well over like text or online because I've used all my funniness in the morning or earlier in the day. You got to catch me earlier.
Okay, at least you figured yourself out.
I did, and I apologize to the people that I talked to. I'm probably really boring, but listen to me online. I mean, on the radio, I guess.
Yeah.
You'll know who I am there.
Yeah.
Do you say witty things to people? What do you say to people? What's your opening line when you write to people?
How are you, first of all?
Sam, you need something better than that.
Yeah, I suppose.
I can't stand the how are yous because it's like, I'm great, how are you? Okay, great, now what?
Okay, now, but at least we introduced each other to ourselves, you know? I mean, I guess you could say anything, yeah. It's not like meeting someone in person where you ask, how are you doing, first of all?
No, because you don't have them in front of you, and so you can't really, like, hold their attention.
Right.
My favorite's when people comment on something in my pictures or my profile.
Right. Okay. I guess I'm bad with texting, man. I mean, we've figured that out already, so I need to know what the hell to write and how to write it. Because I don't have game with text.
We need Kimberly Seltzer back on here.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
We do. If I remember, I'll invite her back.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, you expect like a funny opening line or something?
Not necessarily funny, but like something to respond to. Because otherwise, how are you? I'm fine. How are you?
Right.
I'm fine, too.
So what do you respond to? I mean, have you met anybody yet on the site? Or
no, some, God, no. And also, like, when people comment on Tinder in Tinder, I kind of don't like that either.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, we get it. But, like, let's just not speak about the elephant in the room, you know? Like, clearly we're on here and we're talking to people and it is what it is. But, like, I don't want to talk about that. I'd rather, like... I have pictures of me and my family, me and my friends, me on the radio show, me flying a plane. Like, I'm wearing a Christmas onesie in one of my pictures. Like, there's so much to comment on, I think.
Oh, okay. So you've got quite a few pictures up there.
Whatever the maximum amount
is. Yeah.
I'd put a million pictures if I could, just because I like all my pictures.
Yeah, there you go. You know, and it probably increases your chances, too.
I guess.
Yeah. So you know, people go by the looks. That's what I mean.
Well, but
especially Tinder. I mean, it's meant to swipe quickly.
Not all my pictures are like... pretty. Some of them are just me doing weird things.
Okay.
Like, okay, so I put my Instagram account so that if people really wanted to see who I am, they could go look at my pictures there.
Right.
Because that, I feel like, is a well-balanced look into my life.
Right. No, I know. But just the process of swiping and stuff, I feel that, you know, most people probably don't stop to read the things unless they find someone really...
Well, I think it depends.
They're interested to...
It depends on what you're looking for. If yeah. you're looking for a relationship and people wrote stuff, I think you're going to read it.
So each one?
Yeah.
You're going to read each one?
Well, if I'm attracted to the photo, I'm going to read the information.
Right. And that's exactly how we do in real life, you know?
Right.
If you like the way someone looks, you'll approach them and then you'll check into it.
Right.
You know, and you'll investigate more and see what they're like.
But if somebody doesn't write anything at all,
right.
then I'm like, well, they don't really care. They're not really right. looking for anything real.
Right.
So I move on.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I wanted to, this is like really cool, and it's catching on the internet. Did you see those two twins that are one white, one black?
No.
Yeah, in the UK. And they're not, it's not like, I thought they were talking about twins that were just born, but these are like grown girls. I mean, they look to me like maybe 17, 18 or something. And they were born, it's a rare quirk of nature, they say. But the father was white and the mother is part Jamaican and she's got dark skin. So one of the girls turned out black and the other one is like red hair white.
Wow.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
I don't know. They're very pretty, but they're saying that people think one of them is like adopted or something, you know.
Well, so. How could they be twins then?
Yeah. Well, maybe they're not identical twins. They're not saying that, but yeah. But no, I mean, the thing is, well, apparently they can be twins. They came out together out of the same mother. But that's what I'm saying. It's a quirk of nature, so it's not very common.
No, I mean, I guess if they're fraternal, that's what happened.
Yeah,
but wait, exactly. You were saying one of them was adopted?
No. They're saying that some people think they were adopted.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, because they look so different.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of funny. But they're like really... they're saying that it's amazing and... they're very pretty. I can see a little bit of resemblance, but you know, you would never know.
That's so cool. Know.
It is cool. So it's been going all over the internet and it's nice. Maybe everybody can get along the way these sisters do.
Totally. I mean, if they're in the same family, that should just show everybody that like
it doesn't matter.
Diversity in families is fine.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we were talking about too. Yeah.
Things are a changing, people. You got to get with it.
Yes, they are. And finally, this guy who wants to be a president says that prisons make people gay. And they prove that being gay is a choice. He says, look, men go into prison straight and they come out gay. Now, let me tell you something. If any stray guy has sex in prison... It's not because they're gay, but I think because they're desperate for some sex.
Right.
You know, the thing is that once they come out of there, I doubt anybody will stay gay who went in straight. Because it's sort of like maybe the second best option or something rather than nothing.
Right.
I mean, I can't picture myself doing this. That's why, to me, prison is like hell on earth. You know, I could never even deal with it. So, But this dude is like, come on, you know. I don't know that anybody would make a choice where it would make them, would put them in a harder position in life, you know. I mean, the thing is that you know it's difficult being gay in the society. So why would you choose to be if you knew your life is going to be that difficult?
I don't know. I also don't know that it's that difficult. I mean, maybe getting a marriage license it is. But as far as like, it also depends on what city you're in. Like here you can scream gay here, and like it's fine.
Exactly.
Same thing in Miami and New York and San Francisco and, you know, a lot of places where it's totally fine. Right. But I wonder also if it like says how long the people were in jail and like what if that affected it. Just over time becoming more used to a certain sex than another sex.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure obviously this was not a scientific thing, so it's just his opinion.
Oh.
And I don't really care.
Well,
so, yeah.
He can tweet about it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but he's alienating a lot of people that way. And so this is, okay. So that's pretty much what he says. And I happen to think that it's not a choice. You see people that they tell you, you know, as a kid, I was attracted to the same sex. So
right.
What do you say about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, whatever turns you on, you know, sometimes I wonder, you know, about like sex in general. I'm like, wow, you know, you look at a woman and you get hard, you know. I mean, how does that work? You know, and just by looking at someone.
Yeah.
So it's built in. I think it's built in.
I think it's built in, too.
Yeah. I mean, the things that people do are crazy, but for sex, but it must be something in the sexual attraction that's so primitive that, you know, you don't even think about it. It just happens.
It does. It yeah. does.
All right. Well, that's it for today, folks. Stay tuned for... what's the show called? I always think it's Save the Ocean. No, The State of the Oceans. And that's a great show. The Barbie Twins are part of the hosting team on there. A great team. They talk about the environment and saving the oceans and whales. Very cool. So stay tuned for that. And yeah, today was a great show, huh?
Yeah.
Thank Chris Duke for calling in. And thank you, Jennifer, for always being here.
Of course,
Jennifer,
thank you.
It is. I happen to like the name Jennifer, and for some reason, at one point in my life, it occurred to me that every Jennifer I've met is cute.
Oh, you well, know? Thank
so,
you.
So yeah, so that goes for you as well.
Thank you.
You live up to your name.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
All
much.
Right, all right, everybody. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.